Well, it is a joy to be back with you. This is my home church on this side of the pond. My home church is Bethania Baptist Chapel on that side of the pond. But it is a joy to be back with you. May I move this away? Now I can see you. Now, there we are. But it is a joy to be back with you. I've enjoyed the time of fellowship that I had with Brother R. in the last few days, and then also with my family, the McElroys, and then my sister that lives in Leadbetter, and my dad and other aunts and uncles in the last few days. It's a joy to be able to return home and revisit family and loved ones and church family. But my heart still aches to get back to Wales, to get back there and get back in. This is the first Sunday I've missed in a very long time at Bethania. And that is our chapel, if you don't know of it, Bethania Baptist Chapel in the Elam Valley in Rhaeadr, in mid-Wales, in the United Kingdom. Just a small population of people, right at about 3,000 people that live in the community. Farming community, a resort, not a resort area, but a vacations type area as well. And you're all invited to come. Just buy your own ticket and we'll put you in a bed and breakfast. Right, Brother Jones? Yes. And I do want to say thank you to the Jones family, Mike and Jana Jones, for their hospitality to us. And I kind of thank those missionaries that came by and was up in those apartments. I don't know where they're at, but I do thank them that they were occupied. But no, seriously, you've treated us like, as I would say on this side, royalty. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it. And I thank Brother R. for picking us up in Evansville, and hopefully he'll return us to Evansville. Ah, for sure. So, amen. But there's not much to say about our work. We're just continuing on, trying to be remaining faithful. We're still averaging about 15 people or so on a Sunday afternoon, which is the time of our services. But I'm preaching a great deal more in the other chapels in the area. There's 15 other chapels that are without pastors. Still small congregations. Some of the chapels go back all the way to 1815. I showed a picture to Brother R. the other day of a chapel, and it's really, if you wouldn't have known it, it's the side of a barn, a rock barn, but is actually built for the purpose of Irish immigrants working in Wales to support the Welsh farming of sheep. And this is in 1815, and still a handful of people, 10 elderly people continuing the ministry. But the sad part about it, they only meet one service a month. And it's on the last Sunday of the month at 2:30. That's the shame of it. Yes, it's a farming community, but there's farms everywhere. And there's homes on those farms. And there's families on those farms. And there's children's. And there's people that are lost and dying and going to hell. But yet there's only a meeting house that's been there for over 200 years. And yet they're not growing. But nonetheless, I'm not trying to speak harsh of them, but yet I'm letting you know this is the existence of those ministries over there. And I've yet to see what's happening over here in the last few days, but yet I'm afraid that there's the same type of transition that's being accomplished over here in Great Britain. And if the Lord tarries, it will get worse and worse within the population of the chapels or church ministries over here. But nonetheless, I want to preach on a message out of Acts chapter number... I want you to turn to Acts chapter number 7, but I will go back into the book of Exodus. Now, you don't have to change that up there, Mrs. R. The Acts chapter number 7. I don't want to preach about Stephen, but I want to preach about what he said. I want to preach about what he said about Moses as he was standing before those that would eventually stone him. He spoke about his ancestry. He spoke about those of the past. He spoke about the traditions that they were given through one man, and it was Moses. But why Moses? It says in verse number 20, which in the place I want to begin reading, Acts chapter number 7 and verse number 20, and I do want to read the length of the chapter almost. It says this, in which time Moses was born and was exceedingly fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him of his for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in the words and in the deeds. And when he was full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. And the next day he showed them unto him, and they strove, and they would have set him at one again, saying, Sirs, ye are brethren, why do ye wrong one to another? But he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, Who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Wilt thou kill me, as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a stranger in the land of Midian, where he begat 2 sons. And when he was 40 years, and when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to behold it, the voice of the Lord came unto him, saying, I am the Lord, God of the fathers, of the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Then Moses trembled and durst not behold. Then said the Lord to him, Put off thy shoes from thy feet, and the place where thou standest is holy ground. For I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for allowing us to be here at our home church this evening to reacquaint with friends and new faces, but yet I'm grateful to be here to worship you. I do thank you for salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior. I do thank you that we are able to come together as a unity of believers in the body of Christ, acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord and the Lord of Saviors. We do ask you, Father, to be with us. We pray, Father, as I stand before your people, that you lead and guide my thoughts. And the burden that's within my heart, I pray that you give me liberty to preach. I pray, Father, that you give your people listening ears, understanding hearts. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray that you direct their lives. I pray that they turn their faces towards thee, and allow their ears to be opened that they may hear and their eyes to see what you have in store for them. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, would you turn back to Exodus chapter number 3, please? Exodus chapter number 3. I won't reread any, but I do want to read one verse. And that would be verse number 3. And the Bible records, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. Moses said, I will now turn aside, turn a direction, turn his life, and turn from what he is focusing in on, which was his task as a sheep farmer for almost 40 years, being as an Israelite, but yet still living as an Egyptian. In the previous verses in chapter number 2, it says that the daughters of Midian, they looked at Moses as an Egyptian. He was leaving Egypt. They seen him as an Egyptian, not as a Hebrew. And as we see the scriptures and identify Egypt with the world, we're all part of the world. But yet, Moses said, I'm wanting to leave. I want to get away because I have caused some problems. And yet, I want to leave and get away from Pharaoh until he passes away, until he's no longer searching me out to do me harm. And in the course of that time, he gets into the valley and he meets up with this priest and he says, I want to be content to stay with this man and this man's family. And he marries and has two children. But in the course of this time, as he's living there and doing the work and the task as a farmer, the Lord is hearing the cries of the Israelites that are still in bondage in Egypt, the type of the world. It says in verse number 24, and God heard their groanings, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. He had respect. He seen them, and He took charge, and He knew within His heart it is now time to redeem Israel out of the land of Egypt. And He chose one man. He chose Moses. Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father and father-in-law, and the priest of Midian, and he led the flocks the backside of the desert. And now he sees this flame. But as we see this flame, as Moses sees it, what would it and how would it affect our lives? Is my thought. Knowing that we're not in the position, we're not in the place of Moses, but yet we are all drawn into this world by our birth. We are all in captivity of our sins, and yet at times when we want to get away from the world through fleshly means and just know that we've had enough, but yet we've not gone far enough towards God, but enough to get away from the activities of the world and try to make a good means of life, but yet not drawn close enough to God in the meantime. This is what was happening in Moses' life. But he's seen something in the time frame within those fields. He's seen the bush. He's seen a sight that he was almost always common to see was a bush. And it probably at times, it was always at times a bush on fire because of the heat. Maybe there's some type of glass, some type of metal that is made into sort of like a mirror of some sort. And at times it may have been in the desert land, and the reflection of the lights and the sunlight would cause the shrubbery to burn and burn away. But as he happened to be upon this site, he says, I'm noticing something. He says he sees it. He says he sees the flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. I believe there are some things that God wants to show us, to show myself, and to show you, and to show us possibly collectively as a church, some things in our life, and especially about the future of our life. But we have to take notice. God never spoke to Moses. It says that the angel of the Lord came down and lit himself a fire in that bush. He did something that was miraculous. He came down for one. That's miraculous. That's a miracle within itself, the angel of the Lord. And by the way, the angel of the Lord, I believe, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is there in that bush. In possibly what I would probably consider a type of His Shekinah glory, the brightness and the consuming purity of His life. And He's in that flame. And Moses sees it. And I believe God wants to show us something that would make us to turn aside and just see. What does God want us to see when He places something in our sight? that causes us to turn our head. Will we turn our head? Or would we put on blinders as horses are given, where they won't go one side or the other, and they are to be put into reins and do exactly as they are told to do with their bits? But yet, I believe there's a few things that I would like to know within my life and to share with you. First of all, will you turn to see the presence of the supernatural? The supernatural God that has given us life, that has given us the opportunity to live and to be a part of this world and to have a mother and father and to have siblings and to be a part of a family, but much more, to be part of a spiritual family. Because Moses had a family. Yes, he left his Egyptian family. He left his Hebrew family in Egypt. And he had another family altogether. Married Zipporah and had two sons. But he didn't have God. He didn't have God. God heard the prayers and said, it's time to move on. It's time to change some things around here. And I'm going to start with Moses' life. And within Moses' life, within what God had demonstrated, it affected Moses' life. And he's seen and turned aside and seen the supernatural. Seen something that he had never seen before. And what he never seen before was a bush not being consumed by fire. Prior to this event, Moses has lived with the people. But he had no intimacy with God. Had a wife and two children, but no God. I believe that God was making a direct encounter with him. And he even spoke to him, and only at the point that when God seen Moses turn. Am I making that noise? But it says here, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see the great sight, why this bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him. You see, God reacted when Moses reacted. When God saying, Moses, make that turn, then God spoke. And he just didn't say Moses. He said, Moses, Moses. Wanted to make sure that Moses was hearing correctly that his name was being called. And he's never heard the voice of God before, by the way. It's almost like Samuel. Samuel at a young age, living in Eli's house, and Eli is asleep and Samuel is asleep, and Samuel hears the cry of God, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel wakes up and goes to Eli's bedchamber, and he's there, and Eli says, I've not called for you, go back. But this is the same situation. Moses had never heard of the voice of the Lord, but as he is turned aside, God speaks to him. And he said, Moses said, I will now turn aside, and he does. God called him out of the midst of the bush, and Moses, Moses, he says, and he says, here am I. I wonder what you would have said. I wonder what I would have said. Well, I'd remember, to be quite honest. In the month of September 1989, sitting on the row there, not Brother Taylor's row, but the row up above, sitting on that side of the church, mostly knows my testimony on how God was using the message of someone else to speak about the people of Wales, and then Brother Richardson preaching on Jonah for 3 or 4 weeks, and just got out of chapter number 2. And he's just preaching and preaching, and God said, Ronald, go. Go where? Go to Wales. You see, Moses had already been to Egypt. He was born there. And only by the grace of God, he escaped captivity, but yet lived there 40 years. And now lived another 40 years in Midian. He's 80 years old. 80 years old. And God says, I'm ready to use you. I dare not ask, but I am. How old are you? How old are you? Will you turn aside and see the presence of the supernatural? Will you see something going on that you've not seen before, possibly in a very long time? God moving in an atmosphere and in a mighty miraculous way. And then you all of a sudden hear that voice, and that voice is directed at you. Will you turn aside and listen and say, here am I. Here am I. And God said, draw not nigh hither, but put thy shoes off from thy feet, and thy place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face. I can understand that, because that's what I did for a few weeks. I hid my face. And I said, no. And I gave excuses. We all know the story of Moses. But yet, have we ever turned aside and said, I'm willing. I'm willing. God made a direct encounter. He called His name. It was a demanding encounter. Draw not nigh unto me. You got to prepare yourself. You got to get ready. And you got to do certain things. Don't get too close to me, but also take off your shoes. For this is holy ground. Prepare yourself to meet with me. Oh my. Meeting up with God. Meeting up on His terms, not ours. Meeting up with a holy God that is desiring to make a life-changing event in your life. Now, we all think that salvation is a life-changing experience, and that is. But service is a much greater experience that is life-changing. Serving the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understandings. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy paths. Proverbs teaches us. Moses didn't hear all those verses. But yet, God was working within his life. God wants to draw close to us, and He wants to draw close to Him. And He wants us to have an intimate relationship with Him. A daily encounter with Him. A holy God that is able to stir up the fires of any time. And allow the joy of the salvation to be more than salvation, but the joys of service. Serving Him. After 40 years, God is now wanting to use Moses in a way that Moses never even dreamed of. He wasn't even preparing himself for this, but God was. You think that you're living your life for yourself. You may not be. God may be preparing your life for something else. And you may not even realize it. All the misfortunes that you may have had in life, all the problems and trials in childhood and going up into adulthood and all the trials that you seem that you are experiencing, they may be the ways that God is molding you to prepare you for something even greater that you had never imagined. Brother Richardson made reference that I've been in the country of Wales 17 years. Well, that's just been there physically 17 years, but it's been 25 years since I surrendered. 25 years. I can't imagine it. Now, I'm getting old, and you can see I'm getting old. You can see my gray hair. You can see the belly that I'm forming now after all these years. I tried to hide it with the bigger suit jackets. I'm learning. But yet, all the things that we go through, God is preparing us for something even greater. But we have to be willing to turn aside. Will we be willing to turn our position towards God? Not saying the position that you're in is wrong. I'm not saying that. Because God was allowing Moses to be right in His perfect will, to be in the land of Midian, to be there for his safety, no doubt, because Pharaoh's after him. Yes, he had a family. Yes, he had a wife and two children, and he's doing fine. But God says, now there's something else. It's time to do something more valuable than just being a farmer to me. He says, I want you to go back into Egypt. And I want you to speak to Pharaoh. And I want you to go and lead the people of Israel that are in captivity. I want you to direct them and lead them out of Egypt and bring them into the land of milk that's flowing with milk and honey, to go into the land of Canaan and to bring them to the other side and to help them to be delivered, knowing it is only the hand of the Lord that could ever deliver them. It wasn't just Moses. Moses was an instrument that God used, yes, but all the deliverances is always from God. Even our salvation, even this ministry right here, it's all of God. But He just allows us to be a part of it. That's a miracle within itself. We that are sinful, we that are having our self-doubts and self-wills, and we want it this way and we want it that way, or we won't have it at all type attitudes at times, I suppose. But yet God says, just stay in My Word. Let Me lead you. I'll speak for you. And even Moses kept on saying, I have these problems. I can't speak. I can't say anything. But yet God says, I'll speak for you. I'll give you words. And I'll give you the mannerism to say and to be of great help to you. But he had to turn aside and see. He had to turn aside. God was reminding Moses that his people were still in Israel, or still in bondage, that needed to go back to Israel. And we at times need to be reminded that there's a lost world out there. Not only here in Madisonville, but in Hanson and surrounding areas, around the world. At times we need to be reminded when we're exactly in God's perfect will, yes, but we need to be reminded that God is still wanting people to be drawn out of captivity, drawn out of sin, and drawn out of slavery to the world. And at times it just might be you that needs to be used. And God wants you to be that vessel. But will you turn aside and see? Will you turn yourself and focus and say, am I hearing this right? Here am I, Lord. We hear that song, do we not? Hear the scripture verses when we are reminded when we hear that song. Here am I, Lord, send me. I've been told that once you're a Christian, you're automatically a missionary. You're a missionary to your own people. You may not cross the seas. You may not cross the boundaries of a continent and go into another country, but you're still a missionary to your neighbors. You're still a missionary to your family. You're a missionary to your community. You're a missionary. Yeah, every Christian has a mission, and that mission is to tell people of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as the missionaries that came this week, putting out the signs, and those going into the fairgrounds and just giving out gospel tracts. And telling people of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is clear. We are to go and to be that chosen vessel if He so chooses us to be that one. And He is to send us. Now, Moses didn't want to go. I necessarily didn't want to go, but after I surrendered, I had no other desire. But it was that first step of faith. I remember going up and we had the prayer study, the prayer meeting. The women stayed down here and all the men went up there to the top, to the cafeteria room. That was the cafeteria room. It was even before this gymnasium was built when we went up there. And I told the men up there that God is calling me to do something. And I'm so glad that I heard. I am so glad that I surrendered. I am so glad that I seen that burning bush, so to speak, and that God called me. Because as I look now, everything has changed. Over the course of 25 years, things have changed. And I was thinking this morning, when I was meditating upon this message, and as I was in the last couple of days driving where I used to live and where I used to work, they're no longer there. And I'm thinking, if I had not changed, if I had not surrendered to be a preacher and to be a missionary, where would I have been now, 25 years later? Food Town's no longer there. I remember Mrs. Taylor going there all the time shopping. I'd sack her groceries. I would. I loved working there, by the way. I really did. Working for Don Messick. I loved it there. All I had to do is walk from my house and down to the shop. It had to be at 4:30 in the morning, but I did it. I loved it. But then I'm thinking, if I wouldn't have surrendered, where would I be now? Where would I be working? Where would my life have gone? I had never gone to Tabernacle. You would have never sent your son to Tabernacle. I don't know if you sent him because of me being there. I don't know. It may have helped. But then I wouldn't have never met my wife. And then I had never had my three children. I would probably had married. I don't know how many times, but I don't know. Don't know how many other children I would have had either. But what I'm saying is this. God used Moses. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. And once again, we're not all Moseses. But the blessing is this. You are you, and God can use you. God can use you in spite of ourselves, in spite of the sins that we commit. And by the way, Moses continued on sinning. He did. He wasn't as you'd call, a sinless saint. He did some things. He wanted to curse the people of Israel and allow God to kill them. But then he pleaded for their salvation again. And all back and forth. But yet God wants to use us. Have you ever thought about the fact that God might want to promote you in the service of the Lord? To promote you. Not to put you on show. But to use you. Where you may be a blessing to someone else. There's a testimony that was given to me earlier. May I use it? But may I use it? I did hear your name, but I'm still... Melissa, thank you. That's better. Melissa. I met Melissa's family and her back in 2007 in Alaska. And while I was up there, I was on deputation seeking support, and their pastor, Brother Daryl Sereno, allowed me to come up at Calvary Bible Baptist Church there in Barrow, Alaska, and she allowed the church family allowed me to be up there. And the part of the testimony I want to use is because I was a missionary being used up there, seeking support and allowing them to send out missionaries around this world, she had come back home to Kentucky, and she happened to see my prayer card someplace else. I think she said in Henderson. And they were looking for a church to really attend. And just because on the back of a prayer card was Grace Baptist Church. And she started attending here. Now this is no pin on me. But what I'm saying is, God can use us in spite of us. And many years down the road, was it 5 years now? Or 6 years? Or I know it's been 7 years since I've been there. almost eight. But even if you sow the seeds, you don't know when they're going to bring forth and to flower and to produce fruit. But if you don't see the presence of God working, and not only see it, but turn aside and to focus and to start listening and to start reacting and purposely saying, "Here am I. Speak to me, Lord. What is it that you want me to do for you?" Now, what he may say, you may not be in total agreement for at that moment, but you should be willing to be. Because he is the God that has saved you. And he's not called us just for salvation and to allow us to just sit and do nothing. He's called us to prepare us to serve him. In Wales, at Bethania, I've been preaching. In the last few weeks, I've been preaching out of Zechariah and preaching about the return of the Lord. And the teaching over there is the church is going to bring in the kingdom. The church is, which I disagree with. They believe that the church is going to bring in the kingdom and set forth the millennial reign through the church ministry. Well, I disagree with that. The church will be taken out, as I heard this morning. But I said, we will have a place in that millennial reign. We will have a position. And they think that Israel is going to be done away with and totally annihilated and no other. And we replace the Israelites, which I disagree. I don't agree with replacement theology. I said Israel will have their place in history. They will go through a lot of problems and trials. But yet, we as the body of Christ, we shall return with Christ as the saints. And we'll rule and reign with Christ in whatever He so chooses us to do. But what I'm getting at with this statement is that if you don't learn how to serve now, how will you serve then? Would you still be rebellious? I'm not saying you're rebellious, but what I'm saying is are you doing the will of the Lord now? If we don't know how to serve Him now, how are we going to serve Him when we're with Him as part of the bride? And serve Him in the location that He would be pleased with. I wonder if He'd still be ruling with a rod of iron against His own bride and against the Gentile nations that will exist during that time and even the Jewish people. But yet, come now therefore. He told Moses, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. You know, we're sent to the people of this world, and they're just as bad as Pharaoh. But nonetheless, God can overrule. God can do miraculous things within the service that He gives us. And He gives us mighty power to do it with. He gives us prayer. He gives us the ability to speak when we don't know what to speak, but yet He speaks through the Spirit. And He allows us to communicate even to the lost and say exactly what the world needs to hear. Because they need to be set free. They need the Lord to touch their lives. And it may come down to you doing it. It may come down to you doing it. And no one else. But will you be willing? Will you be willing to turn aside and see? And to take that step. Take off the sandals. And just listen. And then be obedient unto it. Because God will bless you. God will meet your needs. We know the rest of the story, that the people were released. It took some time, yes. The ministry is a lifelong thing, and I've already known that now. I've only been in it 17 years. Brother Richardson, I believe he's been in it, 44 years? Maybe 50, I don't know. Not yet, he's getting close. But what I'm saying is as well, be faithful. Be found faithful. Moses was faithful. Moses was one that said, yes, I have problems. He made excuses. But God said, I will be with thee. I will uphold thee. I will be with you. I will speak for you. And God will do that for you as well. He's done it for me in Wales. I've even started learning how to speak like them. Not the language itself, but yet I know how to say certain words. And I know how to communicate with them. And it's been a long time. It's been 6 years since I've really been able to get the trust of the people there. And there's a lot of lost people that even consider me their pastor. But they've never darkened the house or the door. And they still have, he's my pastor, he's my pastor. And I wish they'd get in so I could pastor them. But nonetheless, I'm there. Where are you? Are you in the Lord's will? Are you in the Lord's will? What about your family? If you're in the Lord's will, are you able to help your family? Are you that Moses? Are you that individual that God used as Moses? Only you can answer that. But the only time you can answer is when you hear His voice and follow His direction. He will lead you. He will provide for you and give unto you all the things of the ministry that you'll ever need to be prepared to help the people be delivered from this sin-cursed world. Help us to know the will of the Lord is. Will you turn aside and see? Will you turn aside and see? Our Heavenly Father, I do thank You for this night. I thank You, Father, for life.